Mahabharata is all about Varna Ashram Dharma. And the highest place you can go with Varna Ashram Dharma. That's why a Kshatriya who lives according to his Dharma, he'll get moksha. What is that moksha? Swarga moksha. So when you read in the Mahabharata, when, as they describe, when the Pandavas, when they went up the Himalayas, they left the Himalayas, they left on a staircase, and the staircase took them from the Himalayas, or some kind of staircase, which Ravana was trying to figure out. Staircase to heaven, you must have heard. It's a famous expression, right? You must have heard. Staircase to heaven. So Ravana was trying to build one, because he heard that it's in the Himalayas. And if you're a pious person, you go to the Himalayas, you can find that staircase. But he is such a stupid head, you know. He thought it was physical. But it's not a physical staircase, it's metaphysical. So he was built, you don't know, you know, because he tried to build in Lanka, he tried to make a staircase, you know. It's a crazy, you know. So the Pandavas, they went there and they found this mystic stairway, you know, like the Milky Way or whatever. And they entered that and they went to heaven. This is says in Mahabharata. So when they got there, they said, hey, Duryodhana, all right, slap me five, man. You did a good, that was a good fight you did, you know. Dhritarashtra, all right, you were blind. Now you got your eyes, but you were really blind. You know, and they played chess up there, and they had a good time. And they're all together. Because according to the Mahabharata, if you do your proper Varna Dharma and Ashram Dharma, then you get moksha, swarga moksha. Kshatriya, you get swarga moksha, right? Or if you do, you know, if you do 100 lifetimes, you know, you're duty, you know, and then you go post to Brahma, you know, it's all there. But Mahabharata, it's not even, you know, where do you see the Mahabharata in our line, in our Goswami's line? There's no, it's Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Bhagavatam, Gita, some Gita is there, but not much. There's some commentaries, the Gita is there. But Lord Chaitanya is telling Gita, this, the essence of Gita is surrender. But that surrender, there's still some motivation there. So he's saying, well, this is external, go higher.
That surrender is forced.
Yeah, it's not based on rag. No, it's just based, I should surrender, okay. And it's because I'm full of sins, I should surrender so I can get free from my sins. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. And even the person so afraid, Krishna's saying, oh, don't be afraid. You know, there's no fear in love. If someone loves someone, where's the fear? That's the meaning of love. All inhibitions and fear are gone. Like we were saying that the other day, that in love there's no rules, and in rules there's no love. That's a great phrase. In love there's no rules. And if you actually love God, of course, you know, you may observe rules to set example. So many great saints, they love God, like Prabhupada, they love God. Bhakti Santa, they love God. Pure devotees. But they also acted very nicely. But it's not that they're restrained by that. But generally they say, in love there's no rules. And in rules there's no love. There's so many rules, but if there's no bhav, no love, then what's the point? So this Garga Samhita and these other shastras, they're, you know, we have to come. Everything should come in our Guru Varg. Otherwise, we think that if you go to Goloka Vrindavan or go back to Godhead, Radharani's there. She's envious. She's cursing Sridham and Veera Devi and all this. But when you read our Goswami shastras, this setting for the Garga Samhita, this Tulsi story of Tulsi, is that Krishna's with Veera Devi. Veera, she's a Sakhi. And Radharani, looking for Krishna, she finds out, Krishna's with Veera Devi, and Sridham's guarding the Kunj, and she curses Veera Devi to become a river or whatever, and Krishna becomes a stone. You know, this is the story. So now you look at the Goswami scriptures. Krishna and Radharani are in the Kunj together, right? After Rasa dance. And Radharani says, I'm very tired. Krishna, please go, please you go and visit all the Sakhis. Now, how do you put these together? How do you put this again? How is it she's getting envious of Veera Devi and cursing Sridham, who's her brother, you know, become a Shankachuta demon? And how does this fit? It doesn't fit. That's why we don't entertain it. It's a different kalpa, or it's the expanded, it's the Aishwarya Radharani and Krishna that are like in Mahavaikuntha. You know, it's a whole different thing. Just like there's different Brahmas. The Brahma that chases his daughter is not the Brahma that's ahead of our Sampradaya, because there's different Brahmas. That's why it gets confusing. You have to have a guru. Without a guru, you can't understand shastra. And even then, even if you have a guru, you can't understand shastra unless you're tadatmika with your guru. You have to be surrendered. And then the kripa comes through. So then you say, well, how do you, you know, wait a minute, here the Goswamis, Krishnadas, Kaviraj, Jiva Goswami, everyone's telling us that Radharani, you know, she all these sakis, all these personalities are in the spiritual world. She says, and Krishna says, I don't want to go. I because, you know, you're everything. You know, when he came to the Rasa dance and saw all the other gopis, then he thought, oh, that's nice. Where's Radharani? And they said, oh, she left. She was in a huff. She saw these newcomer sadhana siddha gopis and rishicharis, and she didn't recognize them, and they just attained perfection, so she didn't feel comfortable, so she left. Krishna said, really? Oh, bye. And Krishna left looking for Radharani, right? This is the Rasa dance. And so that's how the supreme position of Radharani, the Krishna sacrificed thousands and millions of gopis. Padma Puran said there was 3 billion gopis in the Maharas dance. All those sadhana siddha and rishis and all those ladies from Mithila and all these Sita Murtis and all, you know, so many different personalities and Kubjas and all these, you know, not Kubjas but Supornika and all these people, you know, that were in different Leelas, Ram Leela and other Leelas, and Vaman Leela, all the Devis in Vaman Leela, when Vamanadeva was spanning through the universe, the demigoddesses, the Devis, Swarga Devis, they saw him and said, oh, how cute. Well, he's a cute boy. You know, they had conjugal feelings. So he said, okay, I'm busy now. I'm not, you know, when I become Krishna, you can become. So that's why it says the Devis. You read in the Bhagavatam commentaries, the Devis became gopis. 4 categories. So there's like 20 different kind of categories. So Krishna has all these different gopis are there, and he walks out from all of them to look for Radharani. So then when he finally gets to Radharani later, and then he was enjoying with Radharani, and then she's saying, please you go and visit the other sakis. And then Krishna's saying, I don't care anything for them. I want to stay here. No, please, it'll make me happy. Okay, dasasmi. If it'll make you happy, then Krishna left. Then he's thinking, oh, where should I go? Should I go to see the Lita Saki? Or Vishaka, or Tungavidya, or Rangadevi, or Chitra. I don't know, whom should I go to first? Oh, I'll go to all of them. He just expanded himself into millions of forms and entered all the kunjas. So this is the Radharani the Goswamis are giving us. Totally selfless. There's no selfishness there. You know, even you read in the commentaries in chapter, Anti Leela chapter 20, about Shikshastikam, how Radharani is saying, oh, Krishna, if he likes some other gopi, then I'll go to that gopi and become her servant. Or is that story about the wife, the husband wanted some prostitute? You know, there's that story in the Puran, and the husband was poor, but he expressed to his wife, oh boy, I wish I could spend a night with that prostitute. And so she went and she went to that prostitute and said, can I sweep your house? Can I clean? This is in the Sisi, in the purport, you know. And then she said, yeah, okay. So she's sleeping and cleaning everything nice for the prostitute. And not asking any money. And the prostitute said, oh, you're doing such nice service, you know, is there anything I can do for you? She's actually my husband, he's like a leper, you know, he's like crippled. But he really liked to spend a night with you. And she said, well, how is it possible, you know, because her name was, you know, like, you know, Laksharani or whatever it is, you know, charged 1 lakh a night or whatever. And so then she said, okay, anyway, I'll make arrangement. So this is more of a story. Well, what they did is she went and she carried her husband, and she told the husband, she said, listen, husband, I'm going to fulfill your dream. And he couldn't walk. He had like broken legs or whatever. He couldn't walk. So she carried him. She said, I'm going to carry you to the prostitute's house because she's agreeing to see you. So she, this lady, you know, the wife was willing to do that. So she's carrying the husband on her back to go to this place. The prostitute's house, and then the husband started crying, and he said, okay, that's it, I don't want to go, that's okay, I can, you have so much love for me that you went to that extent. So Radharani is explaining, this is her mood of serving Krishna, that she'll go to any extent. Oh, Krishna's interested in some other gopi, oh, I will go serve that gopi, so she becomes pleased, and then I can bring, oh, Krishna wants to meet you, please, you come meet Krishna. So this is the phenomenal character of Radharani that we read about, is that she's not thinking, oh, I have Krishna all to myself, and I won't share him with anyone, and I don't want anyone to take him away, and I'm jealous or I'm envious. That's not there. None of that is there. There's no enviousness or jealousness or any of these things. So these are some points. We're just reading about the Pandavas. As I was studying Brihad Bhagavatamrita about the Pandavas, how they lived here in Delhi, and they had so much opulence, and I was told in the purport, imagine if you were King Yudhisthira and you had all that post and position, how would you think and act? then we can realize how great Yudhisthira or any other devotee is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is like, because Yudhisthira, he had all this opulence, and the people were fanning him all the time, and eating chapan bhog, and it just seems like he was enjoying like a big king, but he only assumed all of that, assumed that position for the service of Krishna, because being the world emperor, he was able to, as I mentioned earlier, he was able to make a decree, just like the king made a decree that everyone must observe Ekadasi in his kingdom. So he made a decree that the world religion is Vaishnavism. So he took the position and everything that went with it, but he wasn't attached at all. Because as I mentioned, as soon as Krishna left the planet, he walked out, he left Delhi. And you know, we have one little, you know, stereo or something, we're so attached to it. Like if our house gets on fire, you know, and your husband or something says, come on, let's go, the house is on fire. No, I have to get my stereo. Or I have to get my jewelry box, you know, or I have to get my bangles, you know, or whatever. You know, we just have a few little trinkets and a few little things that are worth like nothing. And he had the palace built by Maya Dhanava and this and that and millions of things. And he just walked out like nothing. Because everything he had, his position, his power, his opulence, which is described, it was envy, the Indra was envious of the opulence of Yudhisthira. That's how much opulence he had here. It's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In Delhi, his palace, or Hastinapur, wherever it was, in this area, it was more opulent than Amaravati, or was it? Amaravati, the city of Indra, famous capital, whatever. And but they accepted all that, was all given to them by Krishna. It's not that, because sometimes people have a misconception that, oh, if someone's a devotee, he's supposed to have nothing. People think that means a sadhu is supposed to have nothing. But what we really have, niskincha means you have nothing. But really niskincha is you have no samskaras. You have no samskaras. Because you read throughout the Vedas with so many great sages and rishis, they were niskinchan, they had nothing. But they were full of, they had so much vasana, so many samskaras for enjoyment. Vishaya samskaras. Look at Sobari Rishi. Look at Aranyakashipu. He was living in his bones for thousands and thousands of years. Sobari Muni was living in his bones under the Yamuna. But then at some point, his samskaras, his desires to enjoy, they came up in his mind, because they were still there, because only by bhakti bhajan can you remove the samskaras, and that means pure bhakti. That's why they say it is very hard to change someone's nature. Whatever your nature is when you're born and you grow up, that nature is due to your samskaras. So, you know, you see somebody, they become a Hare Krishna, they shave their head and then they chant and they do all these things. Then at 20 years later, all of a sudden, or 10 years later, then they leave. And then what do? They go exactly right back to whatever they did. Because they have samskaras for that, because that's their nature. So even though they did all this Hare Krishna and so much service, so-called service, they didn't actually change their samskaras because they never performed pure bhakti. What they did do is by engaging in all these lens of bhakti, they created samskaras, sukriti and samskaras for next life. They made like a deposit, but then they haven't canceled out what they created from previous life, because they didn't do pure bhakti. Only pure bhakti can do that. So they have these things. So in next life they'll have like a good birth, and they'll get to meet devotees again, and maybe another chance to do pure bhakti. That's why there's so much emphasis on describing what is pure bhakti. The whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita is for that purpose. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam itself, and then the essence of the Bhagavatam, in the essence of the Bhagavatam, it's called the Amrit. Just like you have, I was mentioning earlier, you have a mango, it's nice, but if you squeeze it, you know, it's got all pulp and skin and pit inside. But if you just take it and squeeze it, then what do you get? You get ras. This is Amrit. Everything else you throw out. So that's what Sanatana Goswami did with Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's all good, but he just took out the essence. It's called the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the Amrit. But the entire Bhagavatam, which takes a long time, and you get maybe confused because there's so much going on, the whole idea of Bhagavatam and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is simply a purport on this Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadhyo Namritam. Was it? Anupalyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttamam. What is Uttam Bhakti? So that 12 cantos, 18,000 verses, you bring it, you come to the point, this is Uttam Bhakti, the bhakti, the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. And the highest expression of that Uttam Bhakti is in the gopis, and the highest among the gopis is Radharani. This is the Bhagavatam. But you know, when you get confused, and then if you study, a lot of people study Bhagavatam from a historical viewpoint, or they study Bhagavatam from a moral viewpoint, or from some kind of religious viewpoint. But the Bhagavatam is actually to describe pure bhakti. So people, when people get to the fifth canto of Bhagavatam about structure of the universe or calculation, or third canto, and they get so, you know, it's like mistaking the forest for the trees. They get so off into this scientific aspect of it. They spend lifetimes trying to calculate the elliptic, you know, design of the universe. Is it the universe is an ellipsis or an oval or a circle or an egg or what is it? Jagananda, and they actually missed the whole point of Bhagavatam, because Shukadeva Goswami, as you can see, it's a summary. You know, he's just kind of giving you a basic summary study, but the whole intention of Bhagavatam is not to get off into chronology. Which thing happened first? Was Nrisimhadev, you know, did he kill Hiranyakashipu in South India in a hovelam, or was it Indraloka, or was it in Himalayas, or where was it? This is not the issue. And this is a very unfortunate situation, because many people are misled or misunderstand what is the intention of Shukadeva and Vyasa Muni. Because you have to understand the intention of the author so you can look for that intention in the book. Like if you read a book, you know, a novel or something, they're trying to tell you some story. But if you get lost in something, I read this book and it was telling about New York City. You know, they have so many streets in New York City. And they say, that's not the purpose of the book. You know, someone, like, they read some book and they just, the book was, the setting was New York City. And the guy just said, oh yeah, all he remembered about the book was subways and Central Park. He didn't remember anything about the exchanges of emotions and love or pathos or whatever actually went on in the book. The author was trying to teach something, and the person got lost in the descriptions of New York City. You follow what I'm saying? So Bhagavatam, what is the intention of Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasa Muni? The intention is to teach Uttam Bhakti. It's like people ask me questions, well, Maharaj, you know, in the Bhagavatam it says the universe is like this, but scientists say like this. Then we say, who cares? We don't give a damn, you know. We don't even care a fig for it, what it says. I mean, we have no interest in that. And the Bhagavatam is a book of, first of all, it's a rasa shastra. And what is that rasa? It's bhakti rasa. It's not a book of science. Although we try to, you know, to create faith in people, we try to say, oh, everything's in the Bhagavatam, it's science. But actually, we should understand ourselves that Bhagavatam, the actual approach to Bhagavatam and the intention of Bhagavatam, is to actually understand what is bhakti. When you have this understanding, then it changes your whole orientation. Oh, this chapter came. I'm reading the Bhagavatam, but how come it says this thing happened here that doesn't fit the chronology and that thing? Because Shukadeva Goswami is in Bhav, so sometimes he speaks one thing and then he thinks, let me speak about it like this. You know, the chronology was Prahlad comes before Dhruva, or Dhruva comes. Sometimes he's talking in Satyuga, sometimes in Kali Yuga, sometimes in heaven, sometimes in hell. You know, if you try to follow all that and sort out where's the line of Bhagavatam? What yuga? Where are we? What yuga is it? What planet? Where is it? What is it? But that is not what Bhagavatam is about. Bhagavatam is to describe Uttam Bhakti. If we understand, because this is the whole. If you read the Sandarbhas, because he supports all of his points from the Bhagavatam, and he analyzed the Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami, the Bhagavatam is simply to explain this one verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyo Navritam Anukulina Krishnana Shilana Bhaktitam. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the same thing. So they take out, so the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is taken out, all these characters in Brihad Bhagavatamrita are mentioned there, either by name or indirectly in the Bhagavatam. Indra and Brahma and Shiva and Hanuman and, you know, Yadavas and Pandavas and Uddhava and South Indian King and North Indian King and Prayag and this and that. Like one is like Prithu and one is like, and so you can see. And then you draw that what we're supposed to draw out, we're supposed to draw the thread, where the thread of bhakti. And when we study the Bhagavatam, we see different personalities. It's a story of devotees and the Lord. So when we study the devotees, we have to see, where is the avritam? Where is the avritam? In them and in us. The avritam, avritam means covering. Gyan karm, gyan avritam. Gyana karmat. Okay, I'm looking at this first canto. I'm looking at the Narada Muni. Or what, you know, he's a devotee. Where is it, what is the covering of gyan? What is the covering of karma here? Right? Because is there uttam bhakti here? What is it? And then we see what is his relationship? What form of the Lord is he relating with? And what is the extent of that intimacy? And so you see, like Nrisingadev, Prahlad Maharaj, oh, he's a great devotee. What is his relationship with the Lord? I mentioned earlier. The Lord comes, kills Nrisingadev, kills a few demons, puts him on his lap, he licks him like a cat or a kitten, and everyone thinks, oh, that's so much affection, because that's in Hari Bhakti Sutradaya. That he put him on his lap and he's licking him, because he's like a big cat. He's licking him like a baby cat licks its babies. No licking, tongues, no licking. So then, but then he goes. And then never, there's no more, that's it. And then, and if you look at the prayers, Prahlad Maharaj is praying, oh my Lord, you know, please help save these demons, my father. I don't want any boon, but if you're going to give me any boon, just please bless me that I have association with the Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. This is one of his prayers. And how did Nrisingadev respond? Go to Sutala Loka and live with demons. Mm-hmm. You see, this is Bhagavatam. And it's mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatam. So even the prayer of Prahlad, he says, you go to Sutala Loka, you live with Bali Maharaj, he's your relative, and you stay there. And then so he spends his whole life preaching to demons. He doesn't get any association with devotees. You know how it is, if you go out and preach to demons all day, then you really want to meet a devotee once in a while. You know, when we call them karmis or whatever. So this is, and then you can analyze, so what is Prahlad's problem? What is the situation here? Because he's in this shanta mood. He doesn't have this, he has this reverence and fear. I mean, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is too good. It's really too good. So the Bhagavatam, we have to actually study it to try to find, that's why it's such a huge thing to try to study the whole Bhagavatam. So Sanatana Goswami, under the direction and order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Well, I mean, what I was alluding to is that they give up their practice of bhakti. They just become totally whatever they were, they become that again. Because those samskaras have not been erased. You know, they develop samskaras or tendencies to act and think in a particular way from last life. It's called conditioning in psychology. And then that shapes our body and our thinking, and we come into so-called devotional life, and we're just still operating out of all those samskaras. And so the practice of bhakti is like an overlay. It's like, you know, it's there. It's like you have a fire, but you put a clay pot over it. Oh, there's no more fire. Oh, I see, there's a clay pot. And take the clay pot away. Hey, wait, there it is. So the samskaras are like fire. And then we do bhakti, we cover it. You know, I'm a brahmachari, I'm fired up, and all of a sudden, you know, 10 years later, oh, I think I'll get married. Because he always wanted to get married the whole time. So he's so-called fired up brahmachari for 10 years, you know, really austere and this and that. But he didn't change his consciousness. He only did all this overlay. So what we really have to work on is the changing the mentality. So this is a serious application of bhakti. Then we start to change our... That's what we say, it's consciousness. Changing the consciousness. That's why we mentioned earlier that actually for a devotee to be successful, he must be a psychologist. Psychoanalyst. You have to be very intelligent. So many places you can look in folio. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is only for the intelligent, ultimately. Bahunam janmanam ante, gyanavan. What does it say? Gyanavan. Prapadyante. So, because Krishna consciousness means you have to surrender. And without sharanagati, there's no bhakti. So you can't have sharanagati without intelligence. Isn't it? So this... These samskaras, these tendencies to act in a materialist way, we have to transfer our attachment to Krishna. Because when our attachment comes to Krishna, then he wipes off the samskaras. It's by his mercy. And then that's what we talk about nishtha and ruchi. When we come to Nishchan Ruchi, then when we come to Ruchi, it means that actually the Krishna has entered the heart and eliminated lots of the samskaras. Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana vridyantaksta bandhani virunati sritsatam. This is talking about Ruchi, that one has seriously performed bhakti with great sincerity, surrender, submission, prayer, repentance. And then the Lord is satisfied, and so he says, "Oh, okay." Then there's no question of going down. The samskaras become like very faint, like even it describes it, they become like an aroma, like Madhurya Kadambini, like a gandha, like a fragrance of your previous inclinations. Oh, I used to like that. I don't really care anymore. Some slight attraction, and then it becomes slight, less and less and less, and then, you know, when you first start bhakti, it's like burning, but then it becomes like smoking, then it becomes like nothing. This is the mercy of the Lord, the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, you may carry on for so many years, but if you haven't captured the mercy of the Lord, then you, 10 years later, because you've committed so many, if you do bhakti wrongly, then all weeds grow up. It's told in Chaitanya Charitamrita, by performing aparads, then you just have all these weeds that grow up. Kutinati, and all these things are there. Fault finding, cheating, diplomacy. You know, you're watering the ground. You know they say, you're watering the tulsi, but then so many weeds are coming up. So but the weeds are very fast growing, and tulsi very slow growing. So you, if you're performing incorrect bhakti, then you get fruit, you get result, but it's material result. It's science, it's really a science. And then we have to be a good scientist. So this aspect of being a psychoanalyst is very important. In other words, it's checking motivation. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Because we may be perpetually doing something in the name of so-called bhakti day after day, but actually what we're doing is simply reinforcing our material outlook. We're reinforcing our material conceptions because we're actually, our approach to bhakti is completely material. Like you say, you see somebody, for example, someone may be very enthusiastic, and he's very enthusiastic and he goes out and he collects money and this and that. But then, and he's thinking, oh, he's very enthusiastic, he works so hard, he goes out day and night and he collects money for the temple. But then you ask, if you were to analyze him, or he was to analyze himself, why are you doing this? Oh, you know, I get 10% from my family. So the jnana karmadya amritam. So there's, because as I mentioned earlier, every single, if one is not a pure bhakta, every single, if he's not uttam bhakta, every single thing that we're doing is covered by karma and jnana. So when we're a psychoanalyst, when we're analyzing ourselves, then we have to see how are these activities I'm doing in so-called name of bhakti covered by karma, and how are these covered by jnana? Because because this is why Rupa Goswami said this is a definition. This is uttam bhakti, so it means to be anavritam. You're free from all coverings of karma and jnana. So then. By logic, if you understand logic, if you're not an uttam bhakti, that means you must be covered by karma again. So that, who's that? Who is that? That's us. So then we have to be analytical. How am I covered by karma again? Because as I mentioned, karma means the desire just to enjoy the senses, and jnana means the desire to do nothing. So to do nothing means to retire, take it easy. Oh, I did my 6-hour service. That's enough. This is covering again. Just to merge, to do nothing. Because the karmi wants to enjoy by action, and the jnani wants to enjoy by non-action. But the consciousness is the same. They both want to enjoy. You follow? The karmi, he wants to enjoy by karma. Gross. And the jnani, he says, oh, I see that. I try to enjoy my senses by karma, and it gives me misery, it gives me suffering. So let me do non-action. I'll just meditate. But, of course, that's all Krishna says action. One who sees action, inaction, inaction, action. It's in Gita. It's a knower of things. So he says, oh, but his motivation, his actual mentality and motivation is, I want to enjoy. I want to enjoy the bliss of the peacefulness and the bliss of not acting. Because I see if you act, you get miserable. So I won't act, but I want to enjoy. So the jnani, his motivation is pleasure, enjoyment, material enjoyment. Now the bhakta, he's saying, I want to act for Krishna's pleasure. Whatever. So this is very paradox. He's fully acting. That's why sometimes they say, what's the difference between a bhakta and a karmi? He's fully acting. But the difference is the consciousness, the mentality. So this is what we have to check. What is our mentality? Are we acting for, are we engaged in action for our sense gratification or for the pleasure of Krishna? To please Krishna, give him happiness. And mostly you see in actions of so-called devotees, it's all for personal gratification. It's all karma and jnana. I'm doing this because I get recognition, I get position, I get honor, or just gross karma as I get, well, I do my service, I get fed. You know, they're giving me three meals, you know, I'm a poor, I don't have a place to live, so I'm just... Or another thing is, like a lot of people come to the devotional fold because they're actually jnanis, they're like mayavadis. They don't want to do anything. They're lazy, they're irresponsible, they don't want to accept responsibility in the material world. So they just say, well, let me just go to the temple. They're jnanis. They're covered by jnana. The tendency to do nothing and be lazy, that's jnana. Because what do they do? The jnanis, ultimately they merge. So they do nothing. They become nothing and they do nothing. So the tendency to do nothing, because in bhakti, you know, you say bhakti, you're in the spiritual world, people are active 24 hours a day. You look at the schedule of Krishna's lila, Astakali lila. 3 o'clock to 3:24, 3:24 to 3:48. He's got a packed schedule. Like someone was looking at the schedule. I said, when does Krishna take rest? He's really busy. I said, in the schedule, he does rasa dance 11:48 to 1:12, and then 1:12 is Madhupan, and then there's 1:12 to 1:36, and 1:36 is Yamuna, and this and that. And you look at it, hey, wait a minute, where's the sleep? He's busy serving the devotees, and devotees serving him. He takes rest about 2:30 and gets up at 3:30. Starts getting up, right? 3:30. Nishant Lila. So that means if you're with him and you're serving Krishna, you get 1 hour a day. And if you're serving him, you get less because you go to bed after he goes to bed. And you have to get up before he does because you have to get things ready for him. Tambul and drinks and, you know, fruits or whatever he's going to eat when he gets up. So people say, oh, wow, I'm not going to be a devotee because you only get half hour of sleep, man. So we see, and that's it. We know we want to come to the temple. Prabhu, I did my say, temple prison. You know, you said 8 hours a day, 8 hours. Now I'm free. I'm on my own time. This is covering of jnana. But you see advanced devotees. How you measure an advanced devotee? How he's like 24 hours, 29 hours a day serving. Like your Guru Maharaj is a very good example. Yes, he's too busy to sleep. And he just eats and eats and he's doing. He doesn't even eat. He's just like, all right, well, yeah, but you know, he's like talks on the phone while he's eating. Doesn't even. So there's no, where's the pleasure? There's no pleasure. He doesn't even enjoy eating or anything. He's just like serving. You know, he's like serving. Eating, of course, is for maintaining the body, of course, honoring prasad. But absorb in service. This is how you can understand how much active a person is. Because look at the gopis. Look at the spiritual world. They're busy. It's amazing when you think about it. That's why all, you know, in Gaudiya conception, this is a very interesting thing. You can do an interfaith study or study of other branches of Vaishnavism. Because really we don't know what great wealth we've been given by Lord Chaitanya. We don't even understand it. But in Chaitanya's mission, we have a concept of aprakrit and prakrit. Manifest and unmanifest lila. And this is only in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's not in Sri Vaishnavism. It's not in Madhvas. It's not in the Madhvas. Every other branch of Vaishnavism, or devotees of Vishnu, right? Vishnu Ram, Narayan, or Krishna and Vaikuntha or Narayan, they're like this. All their conception is that you do your sadhana, you do your puja, you do your yajna, you do your tapa, and if you attain perfection, when you die, you go to the spiritual world. Right? And maybe you think that's what Krishna consciousness is also. But what Lord Chaitanya explained is the spiritual world is right here, right now. This is unique. And maybe you don't know about this. But that's called aprakrit and prakrit. But in every other religious system, you can examine their philosophy, their siddhanta, everything. Sri Vaishnavism, Madhva, you know, all of them, Ramanuja, everyone. Everything is that Krishna's Leela is going on in the spiritual world, and you have to go there, you have to leave this body and go there, then you can see it and take part in it or serve or whatever, mostly in Shantaras or Dasiras. But in our you must have heard after all these years, you go to Vrindavan and you do bhajan, you become siddha, then it's called aprakrit. Prakrit means Krishna's he was here. Prakrit Leela means manifest, like Prakat, 5,000 years ago. And everybody saw him. Demons and non-devotees, the demons couldn't appreciate because they don't have the consciousness. And the devotees could appreciate because they have the consciousness of a devotee. They can understand. But now it's 5,000 years later, Krishna doesn't appear to be in Vrindavan, but he's there. Because this is the spiritual world. And if you have the consciousness, then what is aprakat, unmanifest, because you don't have the consciousness, when we have the purity of consciousness, then it becomes manifest. Right here we see Krishna's Leela, and you take part in the Leela. You sit in meditation, and you're Sarupa Vesh, you're Leela Pravesh. You absorb yourself in your Sarupa, and you enter the Leela. You're right there, you're there. You're serving. And right here, you're in this body, you're Jivan Mukta. You're in this body, but you realize in your sarup, and you enter, and then you enter in the pastimes. Even sometimes they bring things back from the pastimes. They have holy colors or this or that. You don't find it. This is a great mysterious contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like we say, back home, back to Godhead. So people sometimes think, well, it's up there, and Godhead is right here. That's why Prabhupada said the temples are Vaikuntha. They can be Vaikuntha if we have Vaikuntha consciousness. But usually it's like Kunta. So much anxiety. Everybody's in anxiety. So, like sometimes I think that back home, back to God, it means, okay, back home. Because you see people that come to Vrindavan, and you say, where are you going? Oh, Maharaj, I'm going back home. Where's home? Oh, Delhi. Acha. So, one meaning of back home, back to God is, your home is Godhead. Your home, Delhi, Faridabad, London. Back home, my back home, my home, my hometown, my house, it is Godhead. It is a spiritual world. Because only in Gaudiya Vaishnavism can your home become Godhead if you change your consciousness. Right? It's like a switch, Prabhupada said. You turn the dark to light. There's no light in the room. You turn on the switch, it becomes light. So it's a change of consciousness. What is it? Vishram Sukham, what is it? The whole universe.
Vishram Purnam Sukhayate.
Vishram Purnam Sukhayate. That the whole universe becomes full of joy for one who is Krishna conscious. And if we're not Krishna conscious, it's full of anxiety, disappointment, hankering, misery, lamentation. This is the main thing. Hankering. Lamenting over what we lost. Hankering for what we don't have. And anxiety about being in between both of them. We have three options in the material world. Hankering, lamenting, and anxiety. Hanker for what you don't have, and then, oh, I wanted this, I want this, and then you get it, and then, oh, this isn't as good as I thought it would be, then you're in anxiety, and then you lose it, then you learn, oh, well, I lost it. So your home can become Godhead. You can, like, what does Bhakti Nivedanta Thakur say in his bhajan? He says, when I hear the sound of mridanga, and I feel my house has become transformed into Goloka, isn't there some song like that? It's a Shudabhaka the Charanarenu, right? So when I engage, when I'm in my house, my grihe, and I'm engaged in bhajan, Krishna bhajan, my house becomes Goloka. You feel? So this is like, you can say, praman, from my point. Back home, back to God. Oh, back home, we have to go there. It's up there, you know, the spiritual world, you know. And then we'll just do our bhajan at the end of life, we go there. No, right here, in this body, in this world, we have to realize Krishna. Our perfection has to be right here. This is not Christianity, pie in the sky. This is Gaudiya Vaishnava. We're Chaitanya Prema Pradayati. You came to give this love. In this, right now, in this very body, we have to see Krishna. We have to realize Krishna. It's not that, oh, maybe, you know, just at the end of my life, and then I'm going to see a chariot, it's going to come down, and then it's going to happen then. It's going to happen right now when you're 25, or when you're 35, or 45, whenever it's going to happen, that's up to us. This is the power of the holy name, and the power of Sharanagati, and the power of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to give it. He said, here, take it. Jagai and Madai, 1 minute they were the murderers and rapists. and the worst of criminals. Next minute they had love of God. Just like this. Like this. So there's only that it's available anytime. And we shouldn't think, oh, okay, I just drag along, okay, everything's right. We should apply the science. Sadhusanga, Bhatan Kriya, Narthan Liberty. And how am I getting free from Layang Vikshepa? When you see the description of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, everyone, then you find out so much, because Sanat Goswami, he's quoting from everywhere, Bhagavatam, mainly Bhagavatam, but so much from Hari Bhakti Siddhartha and everywhere, different scriptures. And Prahlad, because Narada Muni is saying, oh Prahlad, you're such a great devotee, you're always doing meditation and smaran. He said, Are Baba, do you know what my smaran is? He said, I'm suffering from Layan Vikshepa. He says, I have so much stuff on my mind, you know, I'm a king and everything. I go to sit down and meditate in Vishnu, and Vikshepa means distraction. My mind is going here and there in 1,000 directions. My smaran is not very good. And Laya means dissolution. Dissolution means like scatterbrained. Just like sometimes you sit down and you chant japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then 2 hours goes by. And you chant 16 rounds. You count the beads and you chant it 16 rounds. And you think, where was I? Was I awake? I think I chanted. I mean, I moved the beads out. It was 10 o'clock. But actually, your mind, it's called laya. Laya, sometimes they say laya is a tendency to sleep. But it actually means a type of dissolution. That because laya is created by tamagun. Tamagun, which is residing in the consciousness and mind. And vikshepa is caused by rajagun. It's very common practice. It's very common. And yoga, someone's meditating, and they get like a good, like Prabhupada said, they get a good rest. But for us, like we chant, and it's very common, someone chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and they're like hearing and they're chanting, then they kind of think, what happened? It's 2 hours. He wasn't like sleeping, he was chanting. But it's, you understand this point I'm saying? It's just like, the consciousness is like, this word laya is also related to pralaya, which means total devastation. So there becomes it, because of ignorance, becomes it like a devastation of our consciousness, a loss of actual awareness. We don't even know what happened. It's like some guy drinks a bottle of whiskey, breaks a window and everything, and next day someone says, hey, last night you broke a window. Oh, really? Yeah, you were drunk. Oh, I don't remember. Because you drink this whiskey and your mind goes like another place. You can't remember. So Prahlad is telling Narada Muni, you think you're glorifying me for my smaran, but it's lousy. It's bad quality. You don't know. You just see me. But you know, just like someone, oh, he's a great devotee. He sits in the temple every day. Every day he chants his rounds in the temple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Anything. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I wish I had a girlfriend. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Where's my mother? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, my sister's okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And every day he's sitting there, very straight. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But his mind is just like in, you know, Naraloka. Narak. So it's it's like Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's like pop. Then he describes Hanuman, and Hanuman's saying, "Oh, you're saying I did so much service, but actually my service is kapat." The word is right there in Sanskrit, as you know. Kapat means cheating. He doesn't say like cheating; he says it is cheating. And why? And he says, "I do all this service to Han. I did so much service to Ram, but because I'm doing these things because it makes me feel good. I get happiness from it. So that's another kind of." Because the karmis get happiness from sense gratification and doing action for the body and obtaining objects for the senses. Gyanis get happiness from doing nothing. Right? That's happiness. And then devotees, they can get happiness by serving Krishna. And you hear so many times, you hear people say, oh, you know, when I chant Hare Krishna, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. I feel really good when I chant. You know, I get any disturbance, I chant. Or when I take prasad, it's very nice. You know, it's sattvic food and it feels very good, you know. I feel good. It makes me feel happy. Or when I, you know, the whole. So there, that's serving Krishna for my pleasure. So the Hanuman's describing this. If I was such a great devotee, how come when Ram packed up everybody in Ayodhya and took everybody back to the spiritual world, he said, Hanuman, we're all going. You stay here. You stay in Kempurushaloka. Imagine you have 10 children in your family. Your mother, your father, your grandmother, grandmother, and your brothers and sisters. And so your father says, listen, we're all going to move to London, and you just stay here in East of Kailash, and the whole family, we're all moving to London. But we love you a whole lot, okay? Will you just stay here? How will you feel? You understand? You know, the whole family leaving. Are you coming back? No, no, you stay here. You know, we love you too much, but, you know, you be happy. Okay, bye. You say, wait a minute. My brother's going, my sister's going, everyone's going, but me. And Hanuman's telling them, Briya Bhagavatamrita. He said, what is my relationship? My Lord, I'm Lord, I'm stuck here, I'm left on Kimpurusha Loka, I'm worshiping this Murti. And the only thing that gives me any life is every day someone's reading to me the stories of Ram. I'm hearing Ram Leela, otherwise I would die. So Ram is showing that there's something missing there. You know, Hanuman, there's some bhakti is not pure enough to have that intimacy forever. That's Briya Bhagavatamrita is too good. The real opulence of human life is to relate to each other with love, free from envy. Now this was described in Bhagavatamrita that it's Narada Muni has explained the opulence of Yudhisthira Maharaj. He said one of the opulences was that Yudhisthira Maharaj was surrounded by loving family members, and they were all cooperating together, which is pretty unusual. You know, five men marrying one lady, right? They were all cooperating together to please Krishna, and there was no envy. This is described in one verse in Briya Bhagavatamrita. Because Briya Bhagavatamrita had already described Indra and Brahma, and Indra and Brahma and all the demigods, they're all subject to envy. They're all envious of the other demigods. Oh, this demigod has more money than I do, or he has his Nandakanan in the forest, and I don't have that. Agni's envious of Indra, and there's so much envy. And even amongst their own family members, they're envious of each other, you know, and the demigods. But, so even though they have so much opulence, they don't have the opulence of loving dealings. So Sanatana Goswami in his Tika says, this is actually the real wealth. Opulence, or Aishwarya, means wealth. So not only did they have fantastic gold and wealth, but the real opulence they had is loving dealings amongst the family. You never find any description anywhere where there's any argument with any of the Pandavas. They all agree to be cooperative with Yudhisthira. They never say, Yudhisthira, shut up, you know, we don't want to, you know. They never, and Draupadi, you don't find anywhere in any description. Full harmony. So this is a very nice point he's making. I wrote it down. The real opulence of human life is to relate with each other with love, free from envy. Because the center for the Pandavas, for Draupadi's life and Yudhisthira and Arjuna and Bhima and Nakula and Sahadeva. And Nakula and Sahadeva, they're not even actually, you know, they're not even family members in one sense. They have a different mother, right? So, is it right?
Yes.
So, you know, they're like cousin brothers or something. But you never find anywhere in the dealings with the Pandavas that, oh, you're like half, you're not full Pandavas, right? They never did that. Like if, say your father, say your mother died, and then your father remarried. And so now there's another lady in the house, and then she has some children with your father. So those are like your cousins. And you may think, you're not my brother, you know, my father married this other lady. You know, you feel some envy, or like, you're not really my brother, you know. So they didn't feel anything like that. They had just complete harmony. They never like, you're a little guy, you're some, but you're like, not cool and Sahadev. You're like, no, there's always like, we are one, you know? Because you know Mahabharata and the dealings. So Sanatana Goswami said, this is the real opulence of human life, is to relate with each other with love, free from envy. So because there's two ways you can love. You can have love, let's see, you can love someone based on relation. You can have relationship with someone. You can have relationship which is based on love, or love which is based on relationship. So this is my father. I have a relationship. This is my father. So I guess I should love him. But I really don't like the guy. He's not very like. We don't fit together. Our karmas are different. So by relationship, this is my father, and something. What to speak of? Like Indian marriages, they have arranged marriages. They never really, you know, in the old days, they hardly knew each other. So then they throw this guy and this girl together. And now, this officially, this is my husband and this is my wife. So love based on relationship, this is what this is. Then there's relationship based on love. So in Vrindavan, this is the beauty of Vrindavan. That's why it's so pure. The love in Vrindavan, the relationships in Vrindavan are based on love. The love is not based on relationship. Who is Balaram? He's not the brother of Krishna. Who is Yashoda and Nanda? I mean, if we want to prove another point, we can show how they're also the father and mother. But for this particular point, the acharyas are saying that Nanda and Yashoda, they're not the mother and father of Krishna. They're the foster parents. And who is Madhu Mangal? He's just some guy from Ujjain. He's just some Brahmin from Ujjain. You know, Sandipani Muni's son, I believe. But Krishna loves them like anything. And what about the gopis? What's the relationship with the gopis? Is Krishna's love for them based on relationship? Oh, you know, you're my queens, you're my wives, I better be nice to you and I have to serve you. There is no relationship. They belong, they're kiya, para kiya. They belong to someone else. They're married to someone else. But how much they love, how much Krishna loves them. And all you look at all the Brijvasis, what does Mother Yashoda say to Radharani? She says, oh Radharani, you should think of this house as your own. I love you as much as I love my own son. This is right in Govindalilamrita. Mother Yashoda, she's embracing it. She's kissing her, smelling her head like mothers and fathers do or whatever. You know. She said, don't feel shy here. Don't feel any inhibition. You're like my own daughter. And she gives her so many clothes and jewelry, everything, and all kinds of gifts all the time. But is that love based on relationship? What's the relationship with Yashoda and Radharani? Is there any family relationship? No. So the love is not based on relationship. The relationship is based on love. It's a very nice thing. Huh? It's just like devotees. And if you're really a devotee, then you love other devotees. But what we find is, oh, who is your guru? Oh, my guru is, oh, you have the same guru? Oh, then I like you. I love you because we have a relationship. You have the same guru that I like you. Oh, you have a different guru? I don't like you. So the love, it's not that the relationship is based on love, but the love is based on a relationship. So this is not a very low level of love. Braj itself, Vrindavan itself doesn't function like this at all. It functions on a level of, this is real love. Because, you know, otherwise it's legislated love. Well, you know, and that's how people always say that. Hey, come on, he's your father. You should serve him. You have to listen to him. He's your father. He's my father. I have to love him. Right? Love based on relationship. But you think the guy's a jerk. You don't even like the guy. But you have to be nice to him. You have to say yes, sir, and whatever. Or sometimes in family life. So this is a situation. And Sarvadharma Krishna is telling Arjuna, he said, don't fear. So as soon as there's fear, then that means that there's no love there. Because that means, you know, if you have fear, then that means that there's some inhibition, there's some lack of faith. You know, because so that means Krishna's so hard, you can understand that Krishna, that Arjuna is like, you know, not too much close with him at that point. He says, hey, don't be afraid. It's okay, don't be afraid. Well, I don't know. Oh yeah, surrender, it's okay, really, it's okay. That's why I say in love there's no rules, in rules there's no love. You don't have to, in love you don't have, it's not like in love you have to tell someone, you know, to do something, that they'll do it automatically. They'll be inspired out of love. That's why a genuine bhakta, someone who really has bhakti, then they're the easiest persons to manage in the world because they're motivated out of love. They say, okay Prabhu, we want you to do kirtan in the temple, and sure, yeah, this is my service. You know, so the temple commander doesn't have to go check every hour whether he snuck off and went somewhere to go to sleep, because he knows he has the faith because he's doing this service because he loves Krishna, he wants to please Krishna. Oh, will you give me this service? Yeah, I want you to do kirtan in the temple from 10 a.m. until 5:30 in the afternoon, from breakfast until lunch. Even when the deity's sleeping, you do kirtan. Okay. But if the person doesn't actually have bhakti, he'll be thinking, oh, what is this? You know, I want to do that. I want to relax. So he'll do a little kirtan for a while. Where's the temple commander? I don't see him. Then he sneaks off. The temple commander goes, hey, where is that guy? Oh, I don't know. I think he went to sleep. Hey, well, you're supposed to do kirtan. Oh, I got tired. I had to go to the bathroom. You know, and so many excuses. So that means that the person, he's just a karmi. Because that's what karmis are like. There's no devotion. But if someone's actually a devotee, he's wound up inside. That's like when Prabhupada was here, Prabhupada was able to draw out so much devotion from his followers. You know, okay, you go out and distribute my books all day. Okay, we're out all day distributing books. Prabhupada wants it, we do it. Okay, no one's looking. Okay, let me take it easy. No, we're just going hour to hour distributing books. Because it's devotion. So because we know Krishna's watching, he's everywhere. And he's giving me this service to please him, so let me do it nicely, with sincerity and full dedication. Why slack off? Because what am I? I'm a servant. And I finally got service, which I've been looking for for a million lifetimes. So why should I evade it? Because if there's actually love is the greatest motivating force. So if there's love, you don't have to be inspired, and paid. You don't have to be paid to do something if you love someone. You don't have to be supervised. Like your wife, you say, okay, I'm going to work. I'll be back at 5. So please, have some dinner. Yeah, okay. And then he goes to work, and she says, oh, I think I'll go to the club. And she just, she doesn't keep account of the time. And oh, it's 5 o'clock. Oh, he's going to be home at 5. And oh, I didn't make the dinner. Oh, well, that's way worse. because she doesn't think. She thinks, oh, he's going to be home, so she'll be there. If she goes to the club and exercises, whatever, she'll come back by 3 o'clock and make sure everything's nice or whatever. Because of love or duty or whatever, but love is, this is a real thing. The devotees, that's why if you have a temple full of devotees, it's the easiest thing to manage. It's the easiest thing. Because you all get together and say, okay, here we are. We've all come here for the same purpose, to please, to love Krishna, to serve him, to please him. So we have these 20 services. And you can even do, well, who wants to do this service? And you'll do it nicely. Who knows cooking? Oh, I know cooking. So can you cook for Thakurji 5 meals a day? Yeah, I can do it. Okay, fine, you do. What do you need? Just tell me what you need. I need some flour and this and that. Okay, here. And he'll be there. Every day he'll be there, he'll be cooking. Because that's his service. He's a bhakta. He's a devotee. And that's his loving service to the Lord. He'll do that every day for 100 years. You never have to go. And it's not like, oh, you know what happened? The cook, he ran off with this girl, And he didn't do it. He just took that flour and he stole the bag of flour and he ran off with this girl. And he's not cooking anymore. What is that? That's not bhakti. That's why, the devotees, like you meet devotees, they're temple presidents for 20 years. They're cooking the Mangalarti sweets for 20 years. It's their service. That's another thing about the Priya Bhagavatamrita. This is the whole meaning of bhakti. Bhakti is active, it's service. As I mentioned, the gopis in the spiritual world, it doesn't look any... Just imagine if you went to the spiritual world right now, Braja Gokul, Goloka Vrindavan, what would you see? You'd be bewildered, because it's just like Gopa Kumar in Priya Bhagavatamrita. He was born in Vrindavan, Mathura. Then he went to the Mathura. He says, wait a minute, where am I? This is the same. Ladies get up in the morning, they sweep the floor, they put some rangoli and some designs on the floor with rice flour. Then they go out and they go to the well and they get a bunch of 3 or 4 or 5 water pots. Then they come back and they put all fresh water everywhere. Then they wash and then they milk the cow. Then they start the cow dung fire to make, and then they start rolling chapatis, make breakfast, and then their husbands get it. You go to the village, any village in India is practically the same, especially Braj, and you'll see even today they're doing all these activities, and that's exactly what you'll see. If you went in a spaceship and went to the spiritual world, you see exactly the same thing. And you'll think, well, my God, where am I? Am I in a village in India or am I in the spiritual world? Mm-hmm. It's like you won't know what happened. Because we don't have any idea. We think the spiritual world, everyone's like flying around with wings playing harps or something, like the Christians or something. And Krishna's just sitting under a kadamba tree and on a throne, leaning on a tree, and everyone's fanning with chamara with. It's like crazy ideas. That's Braj is so conducive. So what happened? You'll go there and you'll see and you'll think, and you won't see anybody with tilak. When you go to the spiritual, no one's gonna have tilak, no one's gonna have a bead bag, no one's gonna have tulsi beads. And you'll think, where the hell am I? What is this? And then all of a sudden you'll see, hey, that's Radharani. There's Krishna. There's the Sudam and Tridam and Madamango. And they'll say, what are you staring at us for? What's your service, man? What are you doing? Oh yeah, I'm getting water, It's like this. We really should get some conception. It's really our brains are so small and we have so little idea what it's all about. Subjective evolution. Sridhar Swami is saying subjective evolution. We have to evolve our consciousness. Because what's the difference between a village in India where they're sweeping and making designs and they're churning butter and they're taking this and that, and the spiritual world is that every second Krishna is in their mind and heart. And every second. And when they're milking the cows, they're thinking, oh yeah, Krishna Krishna must be in, he's in the underground, he's milking his cows right now. You know, and then they start singing some song. So at every moment, their consciousness is complete. They're seeing Krishna. It's like prema vaichitya, like separation. I mean, that's when you're with Krishna. At every moment in the spiritual world, there's union and separation. It comes to such a fine point that even when Krishna is sitting in Radharani's lap with it, I mean, Radharani's sitting in Krishna's lap with her arm around Krishna, she experiences separation. It's called prema vaichitya. That happens with every single resident of Vrindavan. All the coward boys, all the motherly ladies, all the gopis and friends. They're, from moment to moment, they're just feeling they're viraha and sambho, separation and union, from moment to moment. So they're milking the cows and they're thinking, oh, you know, I have to, I'm doing these duties and this, and they're just going through all their duties, you know. What do you think people in the spiritual world, you get there, and there's going to be a little house, it's going to say Mohan Rupa, oh, there's my place, you know. And there's a little cot, and you go in there and you'll sit there with your japa beads and your dhoti and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Would you have any idea? What do you do over there? What will you do there? You have some conception. What's going on over there? You know? And it's another thing that's very amazing is if people like devotees, you ask them, do you give any money for Goseva? Are you involved with cows? Oh no, I don't like cows. Because you know, this boy we worship, you know, cows are everything. This culture, they're cow people. They're not farmers at all. They're not Vaishyas. They're called Abhira. They're not Vaishyas. They're a lower class than Vaishyas. Krishna doesn't know how to read or write or anything. He doesn't. Last thing he knows is Sanskrit. And Brahma comes down and offers all this. Tateyano kampam jujim ekshamanam. Krishna's like, what the hell is he saying? He doesn't know Sanskrit. He knows Brijbhas. And the boys are looking at, what are they talking about? Like if I come in front of you and say, you say, oh, that's nice. And then you'll start laughing and smiling. Just like this, right? This is exactly what the coward boys are doing. When the Brahma comes down and offers his prayers every day, they come back with the cows and they offer all these demigods. And they're all leaning on their sticks and saying, looking at each other, that guy's got four heads. And what's he? Well, he's got his head on backwards. He's got his head twisted on backwards there. You know. He's got four of them, man. What happened to him? He's like some kind of retard or something like that. You know, I think he's, you know, some kind of birth defect or something. Did you ever see a guy like that with four heads? Wow, man. I see, it must be good for cow herding, you know. You can keep an eye on the cows. You know, they're making jokes. Hey, it'd be pretty good if we had four heads. We could, when the cow goes this way or that way, we could keep on, you know, because now we got to turn our heads around. Hey, where's those cows going? But if we had four heads, we could just keep on, wherever they go, we could see where the cows are. Hey, yeah, that's a good idea. Hey, maybe we ask our mother, we can get three more heads, you know. No, you stupid. How are you got one head? You know, how are you going to get three more? No, he got four. Hey, let's ask him how he got it. Excuse me, sir. You know, how do you get these four heads? But he won't be able to communicate because they're going to ask Brahma and Brijbhas, right? And then he'll speak in Sanskrit. And he'll say, what did he say? You know, and he'll say, what did they say? So this spiritual world is something unbelievable. So these abhiras, they just wander around with the cows and eat grass. They don't plant anything. What they do is they wander. That's why they're going. Sometimes they're in Kamyuban. Wherever the grass is growing, that's where they go. Like these guys from Rajasthan, they come. It gets too dry over there. They come over here, eat all the old wheat and sticks and all the gehon and everything. And they're like gypsy types. So Abhira means like gypsy. So this is Krishna. When he had to do anything, if he had any legal thing, he had to put his thumb there. He had to dip his thumb in some cow dung and put it. Okay, here. Can you write your name? I don't know how to write. He didn't know how to write, read. He never read. And where's something? Oh, I know 50,000 shlokas. You know, I know. Yeah. Well, where's the bhav? Where's the love for Krishna? Where's the attachment and realization about Krishna? This is what Brahma can't figure out. You know, he has so much intelligence. What is it? How's this? This is God. He's just rolling in the dirt. He's chasing it. What? Shiva, Brahma, everybody's bewildered by this little boy. You know, but we have so much projection of Aishvarya and awe and reverence, and it can't get anywhere. You can't get anywhere near Vrindavan. You have to transcend. Because we carry all that, you know, this is all some. Purva samskaras we carry with us, and we approach Krishna like this also. But that, you know, Lakshmi, everyone's, so many pastimes are teaching this, that this, you won't get anywhere with this, you know. I mean, you know, it just amazes you when you read Krishna's Leela, you know, that, because they would get their wealth was, they would get milk and butter. They would take the milk and butter and they go to the Vaishya and say, we need some grains. They didn't grow anything. Nanda Maharaj didn't grow anything, but he had so much grains. The only wealth that you read everywhere, what is the wealth? The wealth they say is cows and grains. But the wealth of the Vrijvasis was cows.
Oh.
How many cows? 9 lakhs. Did they ever read anywhere about how much land he had? How many biggas? Have you ever read how many biggas of land Nanda Maharaj had?
No.
You have read anywhere? Because he didn't have one bigga. And his cows are all over the place. So that's public grazing area. He has some goshalas, and so maybe, you know, he paid some rent, or maybe they just, you know, it's free area. Just even now, in the old days in India, in any village, outside the village, there would be 100 biggas free grazing. It's called free grazing. Every village. Radhakund, there was 100 biggas, and one of the chairmen snatched it. Now it's called Radha Colony. They're selling land. But it was 100 biggas, and anybody, any Brahmins, because all Brahmins, they have cows, and they live in the house. They let them go out, some old guy, you know, you see these old guys taking the cows out, and he's old, retired guy. And that 100 acres is free. It's from the government of India. It's for that village. Nobody can claim that, you know, make a housing development there. And every single village was like that. Because, you know, your cow is living in your house. So how is he going to get food? And how is he going to be healthy? He has to get out in the fresh air. You know this is the system. So it's the same thing. Nanda Maharaj, you know, the cows are everywhere. Brihadvan, you know, that's, you read the Bhagavatam tightly. Oh, you know, this grass isn't good here. Let's go to, there's nice grass in Vrindavan. You ever hear that? All they talk about is grass. Let's move here and get the grass. There's nice grass at Govardhan. Let's go. Okay, go. Let's bring the cows. Cows and grass. But so we should, we have to have some love for the cows. You know? Teach about the cows, serve the cows, pet the cows, give money for Goseva. These things, you know. It's very much, it's like inseparable part of a, you know, worshipper of Krishna and mood of Braj. What are the Gopi? Gop and Gopi. Gopi Bhav. What is Gopi Bhav? Gopi Bhav, this is Gopi Bhav. You know? Hard work. Gopi Bhav is hard. Doesn't mean, hey, I'm a Gopi, I'm Gopi. I just sit and pick my nose by the Yamuna all day. You know? I sit on the banks of the Yamuna, pick my nose, and I, oh, Krishna's flute. Oh, Krishna's flute. That is work. It's work. Gopi's work from sunrise, you see. Look in the villages, same thing. It's unbelievable that you can, that someday, some, you know, some thousand million lifetimes, we may take birth in Boma Vrindavan, where Krishna's Leela, from the womb of a gopi. And what does that mean? That you're going to come out of the womb with a sari and a nose ring on, and you're going to start dancing with Krishna and Rasa dance? You have to grow up, and you have to meet Lalita, and you have to meet your Guru Sakhi and Rupa Manjari, and Lalita, and you have to go to Vishakha, and you have to learn proper ragas, and you have to learn so many things, and finally that, you know, then that's like 14, 12 or 13 years passes before you even get your first introduction to Radharani. This is told in Gita Mala by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so many other places. But we don't, you know, so that's how we get some idea. You'll be in Vrindavan, Krishna will be in Vrindavan, and it'll be Prakat Leela in Boma Vrindavan in some universe, and you'll have your Sarup there in Sarup City. But you won't actually get your first opportunity for seva for 12 years. You won't even get darshan. You wouldn't actually get to have darshan, Krishna, for 12 years. It's pretty far out, huh? You'll hear maybe sometime. Even you don't even hear his flute till later on. You'll be mad. There's so much purvarag, and purvarag will be going like anything. First purvarag. It makes you tremble when you think about it. Haribo. Going back to Godhead, going back to home. When I was in Los Angeles, I joined there. They had this band, you know, some rock and roll band when Prabhupada was there, Mangalananda. And he wrote some Change of Heart. That was the first, like, Hare Krishna. Now there's millions of Hare Krishna rock and roll groups, you know, all over the place. And you must have heard so many. But when I first joined in 75, there was only one. The whole world of ISKCON, there was only one group, and they were from different countries. They came together in LA, and they made the first Hare Krishna rock and roll spiritual lyrics type record. It's called Change of Heart. And one of the songs is Going Back Home, Back to Godhead. The other one, one of them was, you're not the body, right? You know you're not the body. The body's just a lump of matter, destined to grow old, destined to grow old and die. They go, you know, die, you know, like this. You know, destined to grow old, destined to grow old, and destined to die. You know. So they played it for Prabhupada, and then Rameshwar said, Prabhupada said, what is this? And they said, no, Prabhupada, it's, we can sell more books with these records. You know, we'll give, because on the back it said, produced by George Harrison or something like that. Or somehow they put his name on it and he was popular, so we sold a lot of records and books. But of course we all listened to it also. So it was the only time we ever listened to any rock and roll, because Prabhupada was there and he listened to it, and so devotees thought it was okay. You know? So everyone used to learn all the lyrics and stuff. But it's all kind of junk. The same devotee that made the album, the thing that was really nice about him, I think his name was Mangalananda. He used to come in the temple every night, because I used to go down and sit there. Because after the program, there was evening aarti at 7 o'clock, or maybe 6:30. 6:30 to 7, and 7 to 8 was Gita class. And everybody would leave the temple and go to the prasadam room. And then, because in LA they used to have like three outfits a day. They would close the temple at like 7:30 and open again at 8:30 with a new outfit. And then they would close the doors and then they'd make another outfit for Mangalarti. There was a Mangalarti outfit, that was one, the Mangalarti. And then it was like some type of evening outfit. Then there was Sringar outfit, and that was all day until 7:30. And then 7:30 they'd make another outfit. And that outfit was only, they wore from 7:30 to 8:30. You know, so there's like three outfits a day. I mean, LA had very high standard. So, but most of all, you leave the temple after Gita class for, you know, prasadam. Everybody would go, but I was never much of a fan for eating much, especially at night. This is my karma or something. I don't have any karma for food. I didn't do any piety in my last life. So, you know, the grains, your name is written on grains, right? So I don't have too many grains with my name on it. So I would go out, you know, leave the temple and just do something, whatever, and I would come back. And Mangalananda would sit there with harmonium, and he would sing all these bhajans for the Lord. Because that darshan was from 8:30 to 9. And it would just be, he would be the only one there, and maybe one or two people. And there's like 400 people in the community, 400 people in the devotee in the LA temple. Nobody was there. And he has a beautiful, beautiful voice. And he'd play harmonium, and just, you know, he was just singing for the deities, you know. No microphone, just singing. So nice, all different. Radha Krishna Pranamore, and, you know, different bhajans. And I would sit there, and I thought, this is the real devotee. You know, of course, he made this other thing for book distribution. So devotional, expression of devotion is something very individual and very personal. And we should cultivate our individual relation. Our devotion shouldn't depend on an institution. Just like someone, you know, institutions don't give bhakti. Bhakti comes from devotees. And bhakti itself, if bhakti lives within one, then bhakti inspires one to act in a devotional way. So we should never depend on an institution for bhakti, but we should actually act in a devotional way. It's like if you're somewhere where there's no tulsi, well, then you find some tulsi and you do your puja yourself. Just like there's Damodar Astakam, people only offer a ghee lamp to Radha and Krishna, or the Thakurji, if the temple gives them a ghee lamp. Here's a ghee lamp. Otherwise, but when Kartik comes, you know, and you see it even every day, these little ladies have these little dibbas and things, you know, with ghee lamps in, and they go around all the temples and they light up and offer ghee lamp. So they're expressing their bhakti. Bhakti should be coming from inside out, not outside in. It's self-expressive. You know, we have to prove our mettle. Mettle. We have to actually show the Lord that we actually want to love Him and want to express loving dealings. Love. We want to express love to others. That's why the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that our relationships are based on love. Otherwise, what do we have in common? An American guy, an Indian guy, and this lady and that lady, a Gujarati and a Punjabi. Because in the material world, like one time, some lady was in front of me in some class, and after we were talking, I said, are you Bengali? Ah, I'm Punjabi. She got so uptight. She's a devotee, right? And I just said, because she's kind of like light skin and little like shiny. You know, the Bengalis have like a certain kind of color, like golden color. So she looked like Bengali type skin tone. They have like a tone, at least I can see, and I'm usually pretty good. And I said, are you Bengali? I am Punjabi. Yeah, she's supposed to be like, she's supposed to be, you know, spirit soul, right? But then you realize how strong the samskar is. When you know, someone's, Hare Krishna, yeah, I'm not the body, I'm Guru's servant. But then you pinch, you know, you just push, and when all of a sudden, then the samskar comes out. Oh, excuse me, are you Gujarati? You know, what do you mean Gujarati? You know, it's like, it's a dirty word or something. Or you go to Europe or something, you say, are you a German? Not German, I'm French. Because the French and Germans hate each other, you know. Because Germany blew them up during the war. And so, you know, that's a long thing, you know. Oh, are you French? Hey, I'm German, I'll kill you, you know. So it's like, we love the devotee because he loves Krishna. He loves everyone, especially devotees. So there's no, where there's love, there's no, if someone loves someone, it's impossible to be offensive and it's impossible to be envious. If there's genuine love, can you harm anyone you love? If a mother has a child, will she harm that child? She loves that child. If love is there, there's no question of an aparad or envy. Because they're the antithesis, they're the opposite. Because if love is there, then there's service. You serve it. That's the meaning of love. You serve the person. And you have all care for that person. So this is a society of love. Bhakti is a religion of love. This is only love. There's nothing more. Gyan and karma. What is the gyan and karma? What is the gyan and karma of the gopis? They just love Krishna. So this is the, you know, this is the simple truth of Krishna consciousness. That it's not. There's no room for envy. This is the first. Because you can't, the Bhagavad Dharma is Prem Dharma. So this starts off, the second verse is, here's who's eligible. Paramo Nirmatsaranam Sutam. Is that the second verse? I think so. Paramo Nirmatsarya. Free from envy. If you have envy, then forget it. There's no Bhagavad Dharma for you. There's no Prema Dharma for you. Try again next time. Better luck next time. It's not. It's right there. It's, oh, now what's this? Let me see if this book is for me. Oh, well, it's not. They don't. There's nothing. They don't hide. Right. They get right into it right away. This is the eligibility. Verse 2, first chapter, first canto, verse 2. Are you envious? Yes. Okay. Then forget it. You know, Bhagavad Dharma is not for you. This is only for those who want to love. Those who want to love God and love all His creation. This is for you. Right? It's really, that's why Prabhupada said it's simple for those, you know, for those who are Saralata. Krishna consciousness is simple, but if you're crooked, if you're a cheater, then, you know, you'll never get anywhere. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Gaur.